Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, which means I have a guest. And I'm sitting here out of the lake still. Wind is still blowing, which is awesome if you're a sailor. And sun's still out. There's that sense I have of the change of the season coming. And we live in the hottest part of Canada, so we have really long summers and mild winters. Great snow. Just hot, hot, hot summers. I mean, it really is paradise. I think that's why I end up living here and found my way to, I think, what the most beautiful part of Canada. For those of you that don't know that story, my ex-wife and I, we jumped in a car and we'd sold a company and taken a year off. And we drove across Canada looking for where we wanted to raise our family. And we started in Victoria, which is way on the west coast. For those of you that don't know, it's a little island. And we drove through the island and then we drove to Vancouver and across through the Okanagan and then through Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba into Ontario. And as we sort of traveled across the country, at one point we had to, I was going away on a 2-week sailing trip on the west coast of Vancouver Island, and Pam was going away to Sweden for a vacation. So we sort of left our trip in the middle of our trip and went off on other trips. And when we came back, we said, you know what, we both had this sense that Kelowna was the right place. And it really has been. Of all the places I travel in the world, I just love coming back here. I just love it. And it's amazing because it has everything. It doesn't matter whether it's – we have 148 wineries within 1 hour of our home. You know, we have a lake almost 100 miles long or 100 kilometers long, joined by two other lakes. I mean, hundreds of kilometers of lakes. Mountain biking, horseback riding, you name it, great boating. It's just everything, you know, and the skiing is fantastic. You know, spring skiing in the Okanagan, they call it champagne powder. So any of you looking for a location to come, and who knows, maybe we get to hang out. You know, a couple of people who listen to the show just Facebooked me, say they're coming to town this week. Sadly, I'm not in town, but I'm going to see if we can hook up anyway. But what I really why I was talking about this sort of this whole global thought process, I think as a kick-ass life practitioner, one of the things that we think of is when people ask us this question, where am I? You know, where am I from? And I always think that I'm a global citizen, and that, you know, really I live in the world, and all cultures are a part of my culture, and that fascination with all people. You know, all backgrounds, and even the traditions that are hardest to understand from my own upbringing, I find that when I delve into them and I really stay open, that I always find the beauty and the magic that's within each culture. And of course, you know, some of our Western cultures lack. When you look at some of the older cultures, you know, Canada, you know, we don't have a lot of really, really strong traditions where you can say, you know, this is what makes us Canadian. We have a great way of life and a real peace about our country, but it's not, you know, it's not steeped in culture and traditions. So today I really want to talk about that. So I think I feel like playing a song. Let's play a little song first. Hey, let's start with this one. Really someone that's made the world a lot smaller and really been able to offer some amazing, amazing things to people all over the world to really be able to grow great teams and to get greater results in their business. And he has great philosophies. Excuse my finger, that was a little bit sharp on that tone down. But he has great philosophies. and great business practices. He's won tons and tons of awards. And so what's great about that is that he's then been able to, as a global citizen, and that's really how I think this guy, he's truly as a global citizen. He's been able to merge cultures as he's married to someone who is from a different culture, and raising that sort of blended cultural family, which I have the same. My ex-wife is Swedish and I'm from Britain originally. So our children grew up in Canada. So they have that sort of mix as well. But I really love what he offers, and I'm really excited about using his product and really his products are all about people, and that's what makes it so unique. And to be able to really enhance everything I do here and build a really strong global virtual team. And so sit back and enjoy this. I know you're going to enjoy it. So sit back as I have a great chat with the wonderful Chris Ducker. So here we go again. You know, I'm trying to look for that word. I can't find it except excited. And I just had a great chat with my guest. And, you know, in those few minutes where you start chatting with someone, you know immediately that there's something very special about them. But what I like about this guy a lot is that people use the word unconventional to describe him. And for me, that's a word I love the most. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. And thank you for putting my name and that word in the same sentence. Usually there's other things that people say as well, but I'll go with unconventional any day of the week.
Well,
that's great.
We don't have a censored show, so I can throw a few of those in if you want. But Chris,
it's your show, man. Do what you got to do.
But you're in the Philippines right now. And you've been there. I mean, you went over there, I believe your story is that you went over there to train some telemarketers.
For
a bank. And here you are living there with your family. And sort of the whole world sort of changed for you. Can you tell me a little bit about what it is you do just off the bat so people can really grasp it?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, I've lived here 13 years. I did come over here initially for that job. And I bounced around a little bit and did some consultant work and helped a couple of other companies set up physical presences here in the Philippines with call centers and things like that as well. And then ended up getting into the outsourcing world about 10 years ago, mostly with BPO staff and call centers and training and things like that. And about 8 years ago, I started the Live to Sell Group, which is now a combination of three different businesses. So I've got Live to Sell itself, which is a call center. And we handle things like, you know, lead generation and customer service and stuff like that for clients, mostly US and UK and Australian based. Then I have the obviously Virtual Staff Finder, which is the, you know, the recruitment service for entrepreneurs that are wanting, you know, high quality VAs over here. And then I have a co-working space, which I opened just at the beginning of 2013, which is already doing really well. And everything's good. That's what I do. I'm also a blogger, a podcaster, a speaker, and a dad as well as a husband.
And an author.
Well, yes, that is coming up very soon. The book is completed. It is written. I've gone the traditional publishing route, so it'll take 7 years before it gets released. It'll be out in the spring of 2014. It's called Virtual Freedom, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what the world thinks of it. Finally, after all these years of talking about it, I've actually gone ahead and written a book.
You know, what's interesting with you, and I love it. I love, even in that initial conversation we just had, you know, this idea that there are so many people out there who have these dreams and goals. They have this amazing gift they want to bring to the world, yet they lack the team around them. They lack the staffing. They lack, the sort of the know-how to sort of weave their way through that minefield of social media or of global marketing. And that's where you've kind of stepped in. You have this absolute phenomenal team. And I was watching your video earlier, you know, when you're on your website, where you were sort of introducing your 250 staff. Can you talk a little bit about what, you know, there's so many people don't understand this world. What are some of the fears people have about sort of using somebody who's very intimate with them, who lives in another part of the world and they never actually physically meet?
Well, a lot of the time the fears are not actually about working with someone that they'll never meet, believe it or not. A lot of the time the fears are about letting go. Like, because entrepreneurs, I always joke, I always say that us entrepreneurs, you know, we're a very strange breed. One of the things we don't like to do is let go very often. It's not what we do very well at all. We believe, obviously, that, you know, we can handle any situation that comes our way, that we, you know, that there are, you know, generally no tasks that, you know, we can't handle and all this sort of type of stuff. And because of that, letting go or you know, the ability to let go becomes very, very tough to us as a concept. And, you know, once you get over that concept and you say to yourselves, well, okay, yeah, sure, I can let go. I can let someone else filter my email for me to save me 3 hours a day. Or I can let someone else work with these three freelancers managing the projects that they're working on, because that'll save me 10 hours a week stuck inside project management systems. Like, I can do that. I'm happy to do that. But once you get to that point and that mindset, you then have, you actually have to hit the button and do it. And that's where a lot of entrepreneurs freeze up, because the entire reality of letting go of those things and having someone else in your inbox or managing freelancers on projects that are related to your business is very foreign to a lot of people. So I don't think the big issue is working with people that you'll never meet or working with people at arm's length. I think the biggest problem is the fear of the unknown and letting go. But, you know, it's like anything else. You start with baby steps, and you can do that initially by doing, you know, some kind of, you know, project-based outsourcing. So, you know, you can have a logo designed, or you could have some, you know, some videos transcribed and put into an ebook for your opt-in magnet on your website. And that might take maybe one or two different types of people that you can, you know, team up with on that stuff. And once you've done a couple of things like that, and you know, you've got four or five kind of project-based outsourced jobs under your belt, maybe then you'll, you know, be a little bit more tuned into letting go, and you look at sort of physically hiring your first full-time VA.
You know, when if we look at this from the early entrepreneur, someone who's just starting out, and they're listening to the show, and remember, the show sort of broadcast in all the countries you mentioned and many others, but if they're starting out, is there, from your experience, is going this route earlier a better idea, you know, because especially with that mindset of not wanting to let go and trying to want to control it all. But if you're just starting out right now, if you're thinking about having this virtual assistant or working with teams of experts abroad, is that a good idea right from the beginning?
It's not a bad idea. I think it, obviously, you know, a few parameters in place will, you know, kind of you'll make you either pull that trigger or not. I mean, you know, you got to understand, a lot of entrepreneurs, when they start their businesses, they're bootstrapping like crazy, right? So, you know, and that in itself will fuel them to do the work themselves a lot of the time as well. But the great thing about outsourcing, particularly outsourcing overseas, so to places like the Philippines, for example, is that you can get, you know, the same amount of work done at exactly the same, if sometimes not a better level in terms of quality, for way less than what you would pay, say, a web designer in the United States. You know, I was recently chatting with an attendee that was in an audience at an event I was speaking at. And after my session, she came up to me and she was talking to me like, oh, this is, you know, I didn't even know I could do half of this stuff with people in the Philippines. This is great. And we got talking, and she recently was quoted $8,000 by a Sydney-based website design and development company to put together a business website. And when I told her that she could probably get the same thing done in the Philippines for at least half, maybe not even that, maybe a third of the price, she almost jumped out of her skin. You know, so it really does come down, I think, to A, whether or not, you know, the finances are there to actually be able to outsource, and B, you know, is it the right time to outsource as well? Because there are times in your business, and I guess beginning, you know, at the starting point, it might not be the right thing for you to let someone else get involved. You know, because like most things, when we start out, we've got to throw ourselves into it pretty heavily to give it, you know, the best shot of success. But, you know, that bootstrapping mentality is something that every entrepreneur has. And I feel like outsourcing really can lend that helping hand if it's needed, you know, from day one onwards.
Sure. So if we look at then the evolution of a business and you look at the majority of the people that are working with you, what are you seeing them sort of embrace this virtual assistant model? I mean, outsourcing model. I mean, what are you seeing people and what are you seeing as the results? So what are people opting in their business and what kind of results are you seeing for them?
It's different from one business owner to another. It might be 3 months down the line. It could be 3 years down the line. But one thing is very, very clear to me over and over and over and over again. And this is a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. It's when overwhelm hits you. It's as simple as that. When you physically don't have enough time in your day, where you just can't juggle all these different tasks every single day, where your business is starting to hurt because of your lack of focus on the business itself and the growth of that business rather than being sort of stuck in the business and shackled to your desk 14 hours a day. As a business owner, that should not be the case after that initial growth spurt. You know, you should not be trapped in your business. You should be working on your business. I always say that. And that's when people tend to switch on and say, right, this is crazy. I can't do this all on my own anymore. I need help. I need to build a team. And that's ultimately what happens because you will either build a team or you're going to break down, one or the other. And once you break down, you're no good to anybody, you know?
Yeah. Well, I said that to you before. You know, I'm in that position myself where building a team around this brand is essential. And so, you know, that's why I was fascinated about what you're doing over there. And, you know, I look at some of my own questions and obviously, you know, I believe in what I've researched that you're the best in the world at what you do. Take me back to the sort of your side behind your curtain, which is finding these great people. And obviously that's the skill set. I mean, you know, obviously your infrastructure is amazing, but what is it like, your process to find people that you trust enough and have the right qualifications? What do you go through on your end?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things, obviously, that are only possible because of the fact that we're here in the Philippines, right? So, for example, if somebody is based within the same city as us, we're based in Cebu, which is around about 45 minutes in an airplane south of Manila, which is the capital of the country. But, you know, if there's somebody here in Cebu, we'll get them to come into the office for an initial interview. We won't do an initial interview over the phone. So, you know, that there's a lot of things that take place, you know, police checks, background checks, you know, local reference checks with universities and all that sort of stuff. You can only do that if you're here, ultimately. You know, it's just one of those things. But, you know, for those overseas that are potentially looking at hiring people here in the Philippines, if they don't want to end up using, say, a recruitment firm like mine and they want to do it on their own, that's absolutely fine. You know, there's a few things to look for. First and foremost is the level of experience. So, you know, although you might be out for, you know, a deal and you don't want to spend too much on a salary, you've got to understand that you are going to get what you pay for ultimately. And if somebody says that they're willing to work for, you know, a couple of dollars an hour for you, I would sincerely question that. Because I don't know what a $2 an hour employee could bring to your business, but to mine, they're going to bring me nothing, literally nothing at all. So, you know, that this is one of the things that drives me crazy about the internet and all these so-called gurus when it comes to outsourcing and stuff like that out there. They claim that they can get people in the Philippines for $2 an hour. I don't know anyone. I have hundreds of people working for me. I don't know any single... Not even my janitor would work for that. And I'm being deadly serious now. So, you get what you pay for. Keep that in mind first and foremost. Second thing is you must do either a verbal or, if possible, a video interview with the candidates that you're thinking about hiring. So at least verbal over Skype or something. But if you can, do either a Skype video or a Google Hangout or something like that with them. Now, you got to understand, here in the Philippines, a lot of the Filipinos live in quite small, you know, small places and things like that. And quite frankly, they're a little ashamed of their living conditions sometimes. So they might not be so turned on to the idea of doing a video call with you, but most will be very happy to do a Skype conversation with you as a way to be able to get that job. You know, a lot of the job posting sites out there, they don't promote that so much. They don't necessarily even want you to speak with the VA, and they want you to go through their systems and things like that. And that's okay and everything. But for me personally, from a full-time member of my team, I want to hear their voice when I'm hiring them. So that's the second thing, is to genuinely do a proper interview with them, at least audio, if not video. And lastly, I would say that, you know, get to know them on the interview as well. Don't just ask business related questions, you know, the same question. What can you give to me? You know, what can you bring to my company if I hire you? You know, what do you think about this situation? What would you do here? That stuff they hear from everyone. Filipinos are very, very family orientated, extremely family orientated. So they're going to instantly let their guard down, relax, and be a lot more responsive to you if you're asking questions about. So let me ask you something real quick before we get going with all these business kind of questions. Well, tell me about yourself. What's your family like? What do you like to do on the weekend? What are your pastimes? And that just gets them really comfortable, and their initial shyness level, which is in, you know, ingrained in them, they're very shy people, it'll drop. And believe me, once they feel comfortable, they ain't shy no more, believe me. So there's a few little tips to kind of get you going.
You know, you said when we talk about the Filipino people, and there's something very loyal. I mean, what I know about the people from the Philippines, there is this beautiful heart. There's this gentleness. There's this loyalty, and I think you mentioned that on your video as well. There are so many qualities of the, because every culture has its own set of qualities, but there is something very special about the Filipino people, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been here for 13 years. Like I said, my wife is Filipina. Obviously, all of my employees, every single one of them, are Filipino. I would not be where I am today without being, you know, around Filipino people. They're very loyal. They're very hardworking. And just extremely nice people to have around. There's obviously a few bad eggs here and there, but that could be the same for any country on the planet, you know. But ultimately, if you do right by them and you treat them well, you show them respect, they'll do likewise, and you'll have an employee for life.
And so as far as living there, if you sort of took us into your lifestyle, and we sort of you looked at sort of an American or a Brit, you're from England, but from an English or British or kind of a Western lifestyle, and you look at the differences in your sort of daily experience, what are some of the more beautiful things that you experience living in the Philippines?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination of the Philippines itself and also what it's led me to be able to create for myself. So, you know, obviously the weather is very good here. We have 2 months of the year, which is actually right now, which is the rainy season. So basically kind of July, August are kind of sucky. It rains quite a bit. Just like today when I had my car waxed, and then 30 minutes later, it just stormed down with rain. And I now have a filthy car outside in the garage. But that was fun. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm bang smack in the city. I'm up in the mountains just outside of the major city here, but I'm a 10-minute ride away from my office, which is in the middle of the city. I'm a 40-minute ride away from the most beautiful beach resorts in the world, like the Shangri-La and Hilton and people like that, big groups like that. You know, I regularly spend, you know, an entire day on the weekend out on a boat. You know, jumping in the water and snorkeling in marine sanctuaries and cooking, you know, barbecue on the boat and just hanging out with the family and doing all that sort of stuff. But, you know, there's also great lifestyle in the, you know, and entertainment in the evening. So you've got live music and fantastic restaurants and all that sort of stuff. But really the one thing for me that stands out above and beyond everything else is the lifestyle of me as the business owner and as the dad and the hubby. And, you know, because of the ability to be able to grow the team the way I have and put the systems and the processes in place in my business, I've been able to now cut my work day down ultimately to 4 days a week. 9 times out of 10, I won't work on a Friday. But if I do end up working on a Friday, I probably won't work on the following Monday. So I generally only work 4 days a week. And that allows me to really focus in on condensing my schedule to those 4 days and allowing myself to be mad productive those 4 days. But it also allows me to then have a 3-day weekend. And I don't know too many husbands and fathers that have 3-day weekends. And for me, that makes the hard work that I put in on those 4 days every week so much more enjoyable.
You know, what I love about when we even started chatting before the show, you know, you said to me, actually, you know, you're one of two projects I'm doing today, or two interviews I'm doing today. And yeah, you kind of knew exactly when you were stopping. And one of the sort of diseases I find with entrepreneurs is that there isn't never a stop. You know, even on the weekends, the phone's already just at arm's length, you know, that it's tweeting and doing all those other things, and emails are coming in. And really, when we start looking at, I mean, the fact that you walk your talk, that you've been able to create this really beautiful time with your children and your wife and your family and your friends, and grow a very dynamic and very, very successful business. And that's really what you're offering as well. I mean, that whole idea about virtual assistants, and you talked about that right in the beginning when you mentioned, you know, even if it's in the beginning, going through your emails and sorting out the most important things for you to do, that allows people to focus so they can start creating more balance and have more time with their family. Isn't that what it's all about, really?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the perfect example is email. I mean, so many entrepreneurs are just drowned by email every day. As an example, I mean, I get around 200 or so every day, day in, day out, maybe a little less on the weekend, but not a lot. But I start work usually around 10 a.m. And I have a VA that goes into my email around 8 o'clock in the morning when she starts her work. She's actually based over in Manila, so she's on another, you know, completely different island and section of the country. But she'll go in and she'll reply to all the emails that she can with pre-written responses that, you know, is a document that we've been producing and updating for the last few years together. I think it's up to around, I don't know, God, 30-odd pages now or something. It's insane. There's answers for everything that come across, from everything from working in the Philippines, living in the Philippines, hiring VAs, training VAs, managing VAs, firing VAs, I mean, you name it. So she'll go in and she'll reply to those emails as me. And she's so good now, she'll even, if someone mentions, say, for example, that they're in, you know, San Francisco in the email, you know, she'll then go and check out the weather in San Francisco on Yahoo Weather or something. And she'll say in the last line of that email, hope everything's good in San Francisco. You know, say hi to Palo Alto for me. Something like that.
Right.
And it's work where, you know, people actually come up to me at conferences and they're like, oh, you sent me that email back where you said, say hi to Palo Alto. You know, thanks, Chris. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did. You know. So, you know, but you know what happens, though, David? And this is a serious comment to make. I mean, we can laugh and joke about it and have some fun with it. But ultimately, I've gone from, in 2010, working 14-hour days, being stuck in Outlook 6-7 hours a day, to now working 4 days a week at around 8-9 hours a day, and only spending around an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours maximum a day in my Gmail inbox. And it's a big, big game changer. It really is.
Mm. You know, and what I love about that is your experience, because obviously you started young. You started your family young. I mean, you were a young guy when you started a family, and your eldest is, what, 18, right? And
right.
I mean, so, you know, you have a lot of life experience. You've traveled around the world. You've grown multiple businesses. You're a serial entrepreneur, you know, keynote, and great, great speaker. You have such a great voice. You got that voice for radio. It's so easy to listen to. But you've also sort of passing on the experience. I know that you've got your 7-day new business boot camp, which is one of the things that you offer for new businesses. And don't you find that with new business people, you know, if they can leverage the experience of someone who's walked the path, who can really sort of give them those bullet points, those things to follow, that sort of that proven model or that roadmap, Doesn't that save them a lot of time and money?
It does. Tons. I've often said that I wish, and this is going to sound just a tad egotistical here, but it's not my style, I assure you. But if I had someone like me that I could have, you know, looked towards for any kind of guidance on anything related to business, let alone growth of your business and productivity and marketing, which is what I'm really known for, I would have jumped at the opportunity. I would have absolutely been all over that like a rash. But there really wasn't anybody out there when I started out all those years ago. And I think that, you know, because we live in a world that changes and updates itself so damn frequently, and sometimes in such amazing leaps and bounds, it's tough to stay up to date. And, you know, a lot of people that come to my website and converse with me on my blog, they're already successful business owners. They're in their 40s. They're in their 50s, a lot of them. Some of them are millionaires. Yet they come to me because they're struggling with this, what I call the new business mentality of utilizing things like social media and outsourcing and podcasts and blogging and all these other things. And I think there's a lot to be said for that kind of information, particularly when it's free, like mine, right? I mean, if it's not going to cost you anything at the same time, then you're kind of a fool not to start consuming it.
Yeah, free's all right.
Free works. Well, free is good.
Talking about free, though, I mean, that's chrisducker.com, right, is where they could find that if they want to use that tool.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. And yeah, free is awesome. But and the other thing is, like, you said something there which I think is so important in today's business world, is this the fast pace of change. And the entrepreneurs who have been very, very successful are sort of swimming in this new world, because all of the old rules have changed and there's a whole new world out there. And so many people are looking, and I know, like, we were talking about some of the very, very successful people you work with and well-known people, and some of those have given their testimonials on your website. But, you know, there really is a bridge needed right now and an energy needed to sort of keep up with that pace of change, right?
I think it is. You know, whether it ends up being me or anyone else or a combination of a bunch of people that you tune into and consume what they put out, I always say, you know, I enjoy producing the content that I produce for a couple of reasons. First and foremost is to genuinely help people. But also it helps to keep me on my game as well. And, you know, being up to date and what's going on, so I can let my readers and my listeners and everything, my clients, get that and understand that in a way that they can truly relate with, is what keeps me ahead, hopefully keeps me ahead of my own kind of entrepreneurial curve as well. And I think that, again, you know, going back to, man, we're in an incredible time right now. We really are. That this world is moving at such an amazing pace. We are at a place right now, particularly when it comes to business, that we've never been at in the history of Western civilization ever. And it's just got opportunity written all over it. And the only difference between those that will continue to make it in their business and those that will not is going to be switching onto that new business mindset. And I always say that the mindset is probably the single most important tool in your business, period, above and beyond everything else.
And then if you were to say that new business mindset, and if you were to sort of look beyond those words and say, okay, so can you sort of crystallize that even further? I know we've talked about it all the way through the show, and there's sort of elements of that mindset all the way through. But what do you think is the fundamental new business mindset? What are those few things that most people are missing?
I think it's being open to change. Because things are changing rapidly. You know, just the last 10 years alone, look what's happened in the last 10 years. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. I still don't get Pinterest, but everyone's going, maybe I'll get it like 3 years from now. I don't know. Everything.
You have to ask your seven-year-old.
Right. Yeah, right. They'll be able to tell me. I mean, it's, or the wife, you know, it's very female Pinterest, isn't it? Very female thing. But no, I think just the ability to have an open mind, and not sort of, particularly if you're of an older generation as well, and you have been in business for a while and you have been successful and you have made some money. The fact of the matter is that if you don't kind of update yourself and the way that you market and run and build your business, it will just eventually just cripple you. That's exactly what's going to happen. And we've seen that happen obviously a lot already in the economy, and that will certainly continue if you don't kind of snap out of it and start updating yourself a little bit. So I think just the ability to change and have an open mind. Nobody has a monopoly on good ideas, right? Nobody. Mm. And I think when you've got these amazing experts like, Gary Vaynerchuk and Tim Ferriss and, these other guys that are out there just doing what they're doing and helping the world through their books and their blogs and all that sort of stuff, you're mad to not switch on to that and pick up something from it.
You know, it's funny because, Tim has been on the show and I know Tim, and he's, even his first book, that concept, because really where you step in, if you look at the 4-hour work week and you look at really what the virtual assistant and what your model is, and then you talk about how much fun you have with your kids and your family and the fact that you're still very young. And you're in a very dynamic business, not just one, but you have multiple businesses that you run. And yet, you have that sense of both, which is one of my favorite words, both. And most people, they struggle so hard in their business. Like you say, they're sort of drowning in it. And that sort of that time with family, when we look at that sort of that when we sort of gaze back on our life, the time with friends and family and loved ones and kids and watching our kids grow up and being there for the football games. I mean, that truly is what most people are going to remember, their last breath, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go and grab it. It's 2 feet away from me. Hold on.
All right. Off you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing the 2 feet run. And here he goes. Go.
And I'm back.
And he's back.
This is something that my 15-year-old daughter gave me about 4 or 5 days ago when I celebrated my 40th birthday. And it says it's just a little plaque kind of on a block, like a plastic kind of brick kind of thing. And it says very clearly, never get so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. Mm. Now that's a 15-year-old girl buying that for her 40-year-old dad. So if 15-year-olds can understand the value of a message like that, as grown adults, we should be able to do that as well,
I love it. And just so, as you talked about that, I was thinking about your daughter, British dad, Filipino mom, and this sort of the way the world is expanding and growing, and how there's this sort of a blend of culture that is more prevalent, and how businesses have a global, every business has a global potential in some ways. Can you talk a little bit about how the world is shrinking and how this whole global philosophy is changing the way that business is done?
Well, I think it's a combination of cultures just, clashing and combining. No matter where you go, tourism is huge in, 90% of the countries around the world nowadays. People are traveling more often. They're getting off their asses more often and meeting new people and going to new environments and things like that. I think that certainly helps and is probably the major instigating factor behind, that side of things. But also I think, technology has played a big part in that as well, where, just Facebook alone, you'll get to, connect with people from years ago that you hadn't seen since high school or college or whatever, and they've moved on. What have they done? They've either married people from other countries or from different cultures, or, they've started businesses and they're doing this or doing that. And it's just that openness, I think, of, life has evolved, right? Life has evolved completely. I mean, my daughter Chloe, she knows that her dad's from London originally. Her mom is from, the Philippines originally. And, we met, we fell in love, we got married, and, here we are. And that's just normal to her. But she also understands, obviously, that we have two completely different cultures. And, you know, that affects not only the way that we think and act on our own, but also as a couple as well. And there's compromises that she can see, you know, that takes place and things like that as well. And so it's all very relevant. I think the world is you know, you take away all of the terrorism BS that's out there and, you know, all this sort of crap that goes on that brings everything down. I mean, you turn on TV. This is why I don't watch the news anymore. I'm not interested in seeing nothing but negativity on TV. So I don't let it get into my mind anymore. Twitter is my news feed, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I remember I was in the UK in May and I came back. I had a great time in the UK for 3 weeks. It was the first time I'd been back to my own country for 2.5 years. I came back. Everything was great. First thing I did, and this actually was the catalyst for me not to watch the news anymore. I turned on the TV the day I got back. And I saw the scenes of that extremist guy that had just murdered the British soldier in the streets of London in broad daylight. And he's on TV, you know, being glorified. Like, what the hell are you putting this guy on TV for? He's just murdered an innocent soldier, like in the middle of the street, in the middle of the day, you know. And I don't want to see that kind of stuff anymore. It just brings me down, brings a whole world down. But, you know, you put all that negativity to one side. And the world's a beautiful place. It's still a gorgeous place. It's still a kick-ass place to live and to enjoy and to engulf yourself with. And I love it. You know, I love everything I do. I love every aspect of my life. You know, negativity comes along every now and then. Problems come along every now and then. But as long as you keep a relative and somewhat positive outlook and everything, you'll be just fine. That's the way I look at it.
Mm. I love that. It's a shame it's not the end of the program because that would have been a great end right there. But, you know, my wife's Swedish and I'm from England. We live in Canada, you know, and my kids speak Swedish at home with their mom, you know. And so, you know, having a multicultural family as well and the way we see the world, the way we experience the world as a family, the world has become very, very small. And it's interesting you said that. I always joke about CNN, you know, and I know CNN has some great reporters, but, you know, continuously negative news, we always joke is what it means for us. But I haven't watched the news. I haven't watched the news for probably 20 years. And I always tell people, you know, you can actually not watch the news and know what's going on. I always seem to know what's happening in the world, but I have more conversations, you know, what's important people talk about, right? But it really is a beautiful world. And I think that idea, again, when we come back to your core values and your core business structure, and what I really love about it is this idea about creating freedom. And you know, if someone's open enough to and trusting enough to step into this new global world, and whether they're a small business entrepreneur in Nebraska or whether they have a global enterprise, that really, truly, there's something that you offer that will allow them to experience more of the beauty of the world, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you summed it up perfectly. I couldn't agree more with you.
Well, then we'll stop right there. No, I'm just going to kid. Listen, give me a little cast a vision in the future for Chris Ducker, this guy that really is, you know, has created these wonderful companies. I know, you know, Forbes has written about you, Forbes India. I know that you've won some incredible awards. You've been recognized, you know, in many, many ways. I suppose I have two last questions. One is, you know, what are you most proud of? And what do you see the vision for you casting forward? If you're looking 10 years ahead, what do you want from what you're doing, where do you think you're going, and what's it going to look like?
I think I'm most proud of just being a dad, you know, just being around my kids the way that I can be. And you know, this evening I was, you know, doing Chinese homework with my youngest son, he's learning Mandarin. He's like 5, you know, that's insane, but he's great at it. And, you know, and just being there for my kids more than most fathers I know. I'm proud of that above and beyond everything else. But I mean, in terms of where I see myself 10 years from now, I mean, 10 years is a long time. I tend to plan in advance of probably no more than around about a year, maybe a year and a half at a time.
We'll start there.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the next 12 months for me are going to be interesting. You know, the book comes out in the spring of 2014, and obviously, I'm gonna hit the speaking circuit pretty hard to promote that next year. And, you know, a combination of that, one or two potential online products that I've been sort of procrastinating over completing for a while are also going to come out and hit the internet as well. But really, I mean, I think what I've really loved to do, David, is to continue to help people, but probably in a more personal, more high level way. And I see myself sort of developing myself more into a kind of a high level coach / consultant now over the next few years. With all the experience I've got under my belt, I think it's about time that I kind of just focused in and quite frankly, do more but with less, and generally try and kind of create some ripples that turn into waves at some higher level, rather than just blanketing the internet with as much content that I feel is helpful. I kind of like the idea of doing that, but maybe doing a little less of it and focusing on working with clients one-on-one and really helping shape their entrepreneurial lifestyles as well.
And someone wants to come play with you. It's chrisducker.com. And I want to remind people again that, the seven new business boot camp, 7-day new business boot camp, right? That's something free that people can get there. So I want to remind you, them about that. But one thing I haven't asked you, for someone like me, and this is a personal question, who is really looking to build out a team. I have a global business and I'm looking to really round that global business out. How do I get involved? What are the steps for somebody out there right now saying virtual assistant, I hadn't thought about it. I know you in your video, that's a really great step, is to watch that video, because you really introduce people beautifully to the team. And you also introduce to the different categories of players that someone can have in their team, that some are more general, but some are very, very specialized. Do you want to talk a little bit about how someone comes and plays with you in that virtual world?
Well, sure. I mean, what you need to do first and foremost really is hire for the role rather than the task. A lot of people have this idea that outsourcing is a magic pill that you can pop, and everything's going to work perfectly out of the gate. But in reality, it doesn't work like that at all. So, having the mindset of hiring for the role and not the task is very, very important. I mean, if you think about it logically, when you're building a house, you hire a contractor to manage the entire project. That guy doesn't build the house himself. He will hire subcontractors such as electricians and plumbers and plasterers and, everything else, roofers, everything else that goes along with completing the project for you, because they are the experts. He is the manager. He's the boss. But they can do the job better than him. And ultimately, that's what you need to do as a small business owner when building a business is start with that kind of mindset of, you can't do everything. There are only enough hours in a day to do what's truly important to you as the business owner. And so hiring for the role and not for the task is probably, the number one piece of advice I can give people when it comes to building their team in relation to VAs.
Awesome. And then they to actually find you on, if let's say I'm looking to sort of step into this VA world, do I go to Chris Ducker, or is there another place I go and get started?
Sure, you can go to chrisducker.com. I mean, that's kind of my major portal for everything online. But if you wanted to skip it and just get the VA stuff, you can just pop over to virtualstafffinder.com, and everything is over there as well.
Awesome. Now, one of the last questions I ask everyone, Chris, and by the way, thank you. Thanks for your time. I know that Fridays isn't a day that you normally work, so I really, really, I doubly appreciate your time.
It's all right. I'm taking Monday off. Don't worry.
There you go. Good, good. Me too. And so I look at, we'll have you back. I know your book's coming out. And when your book comes out, I'd love to have you back, and we'll talk about what's in the book, and we'll explore it together. But, I always ask people the last question, the same question, which is, the show's called The Kick-Ass Life. And for Chris Ducker, what does a kick-ass life mean to you?
What a great question. Freedom. It's freedom, man. It's freedom. It's freedom to do what I want, when I want, with who I want, and how I want. And that's not just business related. That's, family related, and just everything. I mean, it's about, we're only on the planet for so many years. You know what I mean? Like, life genuinely is very short. And I think it's important for you to live it the way you truly want to. And having freedom is very important in relation to that. So I would say my number one tip to living a kick-ass life is to try and create that freedom for yourself as much as you can and as early on as possible in your life as well.
Well, Chris, thank you. And I look forward to connecting more and building this relationship. And I truly appreciate you a lot. And I definitely see you on the other side.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And thank you very much for inviting me to come on. It's been a blast.
Awesome. I told you it was wonderful, right? I mean, that's the thing about wonderful people. They do grow wonderful businesses, and they have great attitudes. And I really love his perspective on his time and the way that he can utilize a team. Because, I mean, most of you out there who are entrepreneurs, you know how often you become a prisoner to your own business. You know, you don't own the business owns you. That's the dilemma. That's why I'm such an advocate for network marketing, because I watch so many people create true freedom, because it's, you know, they're no longer imprisoned or enshackled as long as they understand certain rules and are able to bring those rules into fruition. And, you know, so, but I mean, I love the idea of this, the energy of this culture as well. The Philippines has, and if you meet anyone from the Philippines anywhere, there is always this beautiful gentleness. There's a wonderful energy about them. There's a real presence. So I really understand when he talks about this loyalty, and he talks about this, you know, this willingness to serve and this willingness to help, and from a different well. It's not just about making the money. It's truly about service in a different way. So again, you know, I do urge you, as you listen to this, if you're in business for yourself, and even if you're not in business for yourself, but there's things you want to accomplish for yourself, whether it's writing a book or whether it's, you know, whether it's marketing your own brand of website for, you know, maybe you're a poet or you have a music that you want to bring to the world. Maybe it's any of these things where you can utilize these types of skills, where you can say, you know what, I can have somebody who I can afford to have work for me that is really dedicated to helping me bring my particular gift to the world. So I really think that this is something that Chris offers that's a wonderful, wonderful extension of either any individual or any business of any size. And this is how that world is shrinking. So I'm really excited about our shrinking world. And I was going to go straight to a song there. I love this song.
The kisses of the sun were sweet. I didn't blink. I let it in my eyes. Like an excited dream, the radio playing songs that I have never heard. I don't know what to say. Oh, not another word. Just la 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 la.
Get back into my home on the 24th. We've been away for a lot this summer, and so we have this new environment. I'm really looking forward about setting up my office, setting up a studio, and really looking at how I can expand this team and really bring together a global vision of huge impact. And I do feel called. And this year and a half or just over where we've been together, and those of you that are real loyal listeners, and I know some of you, it's not a question of being able to listen all the time. Sometimes you come back in and grab a show here and there. But for a lot of you, it is a constant companion. And I keep hearing from people in regards to some of the shifts and changes that are occurring within your lives and perspective and the view of the world. And I really, again, I feel called to create a movement together that can really create massive impact. And as we sort of start looking at as this unfolds and as we expand together into something even greater, then there really is a deeper importance here, and for me personally, a deeper accountability. So, you know, I'm overwhelmed with gratitude for your support. And I was reading through. I haven't been on YouTube and I'm sorry, YouTube, but to iTunes and listened to, read any of the reviews recently. But I was reading some of them on the American site. You know, there's about 210 or 212 reviews, and I always like reading the last ones. And I read backwards, and you kind of you go back to the beginning, and you see how the show was kind of fun. But then as you sort of go through the months and months and months and years, and as people have listened longer, you start getting these reviews of deeper impact. So if you feel inclined to share a little bit of the transition in yourself, if you've been listening for a long time, even if you've left a review once before, but if you can start to share a little bit about what's changing, because I think what happens is when you do that, you allow other people to start to notice and focus in the right place. Because, you know, there's a great saying that says, what I focus on expands, you know. And so, you know, what we have to do sometimes is by your word, your ability to articulate the shifts in yourself will allow other people to start to look in that same area and ask themselves better questions and create a shift in them. And this is how we do this together. You know, this is about linking arms together around, you know, creating a greater impact in the world. And as we start to articulate this more about what this really stands for, I'm excited because I've received, even from my last show when I talked about this, I received a number of Facebook posts and private messages and even some emails from people who truly are getting that, are understanding exactly what I'm talking about the importance of this type of message. And especially, you know, the world is so full. I mean, if I see some of the crap on the internet and on TV and just the stuff that people listen to and fills their minds that really isn't moving them forward. And I feel that, you know, together we can do something that's so big and has such a massive impact in the world. And, you know, and again, when I say massive, remember the world that's most important is your own world, because that's the world you're most aware of. And if we can focus each one of you on your own world, imagine as it ripples out of you into your families, into your friends, into your culture, into your churches, synagogues, temples, into your mosques, right? What will end up happening is that's the ripple. And as those ripples join together, that's how the big impact works. But it's not about trying to impact the whole world. It's about impacting ourselves first. You know, and remember, we see the world as we are, not as it is. And that's why if you're constantly seeing beauty in the world, it's because inside of you, you're noticing your own beauty. And if you're constantly seeing negativity, if you're constantly having that feeling that things aren't right, that's because inside of you is all it is a reflection of the inside, you know, it's the inner world that creates the outer world, all right? It's your roots that create the fruits, right? So with that being said, I really loved having Chris on the show, and I will definitely see you.
That was kick-ass.